That is a great late summer, early fall roll down the window song there from BTO. Leading us into our next guest from the Bangor Daily News, Larry Mahoney joins us. Hello there, Larry.
Hi, Rich. 1975, that peaked at number 14 in the U.S. charts. Randy Bachman and his brothers Robbie and Tim, along with Fred Turner. Robbie Bachman and Fred Turner wrote that song. The song just hits you right between the eyes. The guitar riffs are terrific. It's clearly my favorite BTO song. It just keeps getting better and better, and then it's got a really nice little ending to it. And I used to dabble in drums and some great drum work in that by Bachman. So, I mean, it's just a terrific song. Of course, Randy Bachman, for those of you probably know, he was with a very successful group, the Guess Who. The Bachmans are all from Winnipeg. Now, here you go, Richard. Here's your trivia question for today.
Okay.
BTO had six top 40 singles. Only one reached the top 10, and it was number one in September of 1974, 50 years ago today. Name that Bachman Turner Overdrive song that went to number one in September of 1974.
I'm going to say Taking Care of Business.
You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Oh, baby.
And probably my least favorite of their hits. Taking Care of Business went to number 12. Let It Ride went to number 23. But Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, which is my least favorite of his major hits. That was number one in 1974. Here's a question for you. What does the number 25 mean to Bachman Turner Overdrive?
The number 25? I don't know. You've got me stumped on that one.
The number of record companies that rejected them.
Wow.
25. And then Mercury Records was their first record album. The Charlie F.A.C.H. was the name of the producer. Came back from France. He had all these demos on his table. He wanted to get rid of them, so he threw them all on the floor except one. Threw them all in the trash can except one. One landed on the floor. He reached down and said Randy Bachman on it, and he had talked to Bachman a year earlier, played the demo, liked it, signed him to a record album.
I had no idea. Well, he and his son, Randy and his son Tal Bachman, do a terrific show on the Beatles channel on Sirius XM Radio.
Is it pretty good?
It's very good. Yeah, and they talk about the musicianship and sort of break down each song and look especially at the guitar work and the drums and what everybody was doing beyond the vocals. And it's really good.
Oh, yeah. I've heard just a fragment of it, but they seem really, they seem enthusiastic. You know, they seem like the few minutes I heard, they had some good stories, about musicians and about the work that goes into it.
I was reading, too, recently that Randy Bachman and Burton Cummings sued a guy who had been in the Guess Who and then went out on his own and was calling himself the Guess Who. And they sued to prevent him from playing their songs live. And I guess it's taken years and years of litigation, but apparently they finally won, and this guy cannot go out and claim to be something he's not anymore.
And that was a terrific group, too. Undone, it would be in my top 100 by the Guess Who, the song Undone.
Oh, Undone, Laughing, Share the Land. Wow, great songs.
No Time Left for You.
Oh, yeah, American Woman, of course.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Later songs that I really liked, like Albert Flasher and Star Baby.
Yes. Both of those songs, they never got the airplay. I think I mentioned it to you, like there's some albums like Say You Will by Fleetwood Mac and Pump It Up by the B-52s, CDs that were released a long time after all their major hits that were terrific, but got no airplay.
Right.
Just like Albert Flasher, at least that got airplay, and some of those songs those are two of their best songs. But they were released what do you think, about 10 years after their heyday, or
I think
10 years.
I think that was I know Star Baby I think was 1974.
Okay. Yep. No, those are terrific. I really Yeah, they really did. They had so many good songs. One of the most prolific Canadian bands of all time, if not the most prolific.
Oh yeah, no question about that. Man, oh man, good stuff. Larry Mahoney, Bangor Daily News, with us here on Downtown. Big win for Maine football on the road this weekend. This team, the Monmouth game aside, which was just a strange one, they seem to be getting better every week, and especially defensively. And I love the fact that we're seeing them really dominate the second half in games.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, their second half, they've outscored in the last two opponents, was it 40-6 now? Let's see. And here's the thing. I'm just doing the analysis, the weekly analysis piece. The Monmouth and Montana State games, they give up 18 plays of 20 more yards. In the two wins over Merrimack and Albany, they've given up 4.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's something they needed to do. That's something, I mean, they're getting pressure on the quarterback, and that's where it all starts, because these quarterbacks are too good. If you give them 5 and 6 seconds, they're going to find a receiver. A receiver's going to get free. They've had some injuries in the secondary, but Jordan Stevens on the conference call said he was very pleased with the secondary, and they've had to plug holes. You know, Devin Vaught didn't play. Shakir Smalls got hurt, and they're getting it done. But it all starts with the defensive line and the pressure. And the other thing, they couldn't get off the field on third down. They are getting off the field on third down. They're doing a great job in third down, and that means they can get rested. And the offense, playing complementary football, Rich, is maintaining possession. I mean, possession was 70-50 in plays this week, and that's what you have to do. You have to keep the other team off the field, give your defense a rest, and move the ball. And Carter Peavy, as you and Bob Lucy said on the call, keeps getting better every game, better decision making, and he's a leader. I mean, he's a man out there. And the nice little shovel pass to Heisey, 2 touchdowns to Heisey, and he spreads it around. 2 weeks ago against Merrimack, he hit 10 different receivers. So, I mean, they're starting to play in sync. And what I asked Jordan on the conference call today is, you played 6 great quarters of football, or 6 solid quarters of football. I mean, do you want the bye this week, or would you like to keep playing? He said, no, we could use the bye. He said, it's a good time to have a weekend off, get healed up a little bit. So, because sometimes people like to keep the momentum going and want to keep playing.
Well, yeah, and Maine historically has not done well coming off bye weeks. And I think that happens to a lot of teams. And so, sometimes if you're playing really well, you'd like to get right back out there. But they do have a few injuries. I think they would benefit from having the time off to get ready for that Delaware game. But look, it's early in the season, but I look around the CAA. I don't see a dominant team. Villanova was the preseason favorite. They haven't exactly blown anybody away yet. Delaware, I mean, they're moving up. Doesn't really matter what they do anyway. I don't even know who the second best team in the league is right now. Maybe William and Mary. But if the Black Bears could win one of these next two, either Delaware on the road or Villanova at home, I think it gets very interesting, because I see, given what we've seen from the Bears the last couple games, I see some potential wins on that schedule down the stretch with teams like Rhode Island, Bryant, Elon. and Elon, and who knows with New Hampshire. That's always a crapshoot.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think this is talk about a stretch, though. I mean, they get the week off, then they go to Delaware. You know, I don't know if it's because they're going to FBS next year or not, but, you know, Delaware's not even ranked nationally.
And I think that must be the reason why Bob and I were wondering that, because they're undefeated.
They're 4-0.
Right. I think they're just not included in the rankings because of where they're going next year. And I know we talked with CAA Commissioner Joe D'Antonio, and he told us that what they're doing for the league is that a loss to Delaware cannot keep you from getting the automatic qualifier. So if you were, let's say you were 7-1 and that one loss was to Delaware, you'd win the conference, and they would not count that Delaware loss against you.
Now, Delaware, I know in other sports, they prevented them from playing in the postseason. But obviously, there's no championship game in the CAA. But I saw the polls today, and they weren't ranked. I'm going, are they being excluded from FCS playoffs.
And they may be. I know that they were
they
not.
Should be. They should be 4-0, and they would pick third, right?
Behind right, Villanova. Right. I know they're not. They can't get the automatic qualifier, and I almost think that the league voted that they cannot go to postseason.
Wow. I'm surprised. Yeah, but I'm surprised they don't fight that and go to the NCAA and say, hey, look, we're an FCS team this year. We're going to FBS next year, but we're still an FCS team. I mean, they can't prevent us from going to play in the postseason. But it even dawned on me until a little while ago, Rich, when I checked the national polls and I didn't see them on there. And I'm going, geez, I mean, they're 4-0. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, Bob Lucy and I did the same thing over the weekend. We're like, why isn't Delaware in the top 25? And that's all I can figure out.
Yeah, that's all I can think of, too. I mean, maybe they are, just playing the season out and then moving on to FBS. James Madison hasn't seemed to have taken a step back. Did you see put a 70 spot on North Carolina?
They're loaded. I think last year they got into the top 25 for at least a week or two.
Yes.
But they were a team that was well positioned to make the move to the FBS ranks.
What do you think of Delaware?
I don't know about
them.
Well
positioned. I mean, I've never been to their facility.
It's a great stadium. They used to have the best attendance in the league for years and years back in the Tubby Raymond days, and then Casey Keeler, they would always get 20,000 per game. I don't know that they're still doing that anymore, and they've got a lot more competition in that recruiting footprint there in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, that region. So I don't know. And again, it depends on the league and who you're up against, what conference you're in, but I wonder if they'll end up more like a Connecticut than the James Madison.
Well, they just don't want to end up like a UMass.
Yeah, nobody wants to go there. My gosh.
No, and be a lame duck. I mean, they're not even. They would, as far as I know, they're still not even in the league, are they?
I think they're in the MAC now.
Are they now? Okay, for years they weren't in the league, and I mean they played some tough teams and they got hammered. And I'm sitting there going, I wonder if it was a knee-jerk reaction. UConn went FBS, and UMass said, well, they're going to, we've got to do it, and they weren't prepared for it.
Oh, there's no question about that. Larry Mahoney with us here on Downtown. Maine Black Bear hockey getting ready to play this weekend, and excitement at a level we haven't seen in a while, a waiting list for season tickets.
Yeah, very much so, and people have been waiting. People have been waiting for this to happen, and it happened last year. It's been a steady progression. Ben Barr came in, won 7 games his first year, 15 the next, 23 last year. So that's an eight game improvement each year, and he's a perfectionist. He's somebody that is a great coach. I mean, he cares about his players. But they're held accountable, and they videotape practices, and they sit down with the players and say, hey, what are you doing here? I mean, you got to back check. You got to do this. These players are really going to develop here, but it's a certain type of player. You have to be motivated, and you have to be somebody that wants to play at the next level, and that's what they have. Now, they have one NHL draft pick. And they're playing teams like BC with 12 and BU with 13, but they're doing it their way. And he's recruited for 3 national championship teams. And by getting players to come in to outwork opponents, they play a structured system, and they're in your face. They're fun to watch. And this is eventually they're going to get a bunch of the top round draft picks are going to start. Coming, it's already happening. Are looking into Maine, and of course, they're getting the $45 million renovation to the arena. But they were in 11th today in the second poll. They were 12th in the U.S. College Hockey Online poll, and now in the USA Today poll, they're picked 11th nationally. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a deeper team than last year. Their entire defense corps is back, and they added Frank Jurasevic from Merrimack, who's one of their top 4 defensemen as a freshman. I mean, Bradley, that was going to be tough to replace. You don't replace a first-round draft pick in your leading scorer. But, they're hoping to have more depth, get more balanced scoring, get something from the third and fourth lines. And like you said, this will be their deepest team, and if they all stay healthy. So, people have been waiting for years because there's only 64 Division I teams, Rich. So you start the season with a 25% chance of making the NCAA tournament before they drop the first puck. So, and of course, they've got the two national championships, and the 99 national championship team will be going in the UMaine Sports Hall of Fame this Friday, along with several other individuals. So, it's an exciting time, and it's going to be different because of the the construction going on. Fans are going to have to figure out how to best get in there and stuff like that. Negotiate everything. They'll lose some parking, and they don't have much anyway, as you know. So, but yeah, there's a buzz. There's certainly a buzz, and these players are. Losing to Cornell 3-1 in the NCAA tournament, the first appearance for them since 2011-12, didn't leave a very good taste in their mouths. And they got off to a 1-0 lead, had a 5-minute power play, couldn't capitalize, and then wound up losing 3-1. And they want to go a lot further this year.
What is going on with the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman? I read earlier today, it sounds like they've offered $64 million over 8 years, but that's much less than what Swayman's asking for.
Well, if that's what they're asking, I mean, yeah, that's disappointing, and that is really disappointing. A year ago he went through arbitration, and arbitration is ugly because the goalie is saying why he should get a certain amount of money, and the team is saying, well, here's what you didn't do, so here's why we don't want to give you all this money, and so from what I heard, he's got an agent that, draws a sand in the line and says, here's what you're worth and whatever. I don't understand it. Talking to insiders that know him, they think he will sign with the Bruins because he loves Boston. But I just don't, some of this is really, if they're offering him $8 million a year for 8 years, I mean, that's, in all due respect to him, I mean, he's only been around 3 years. I mean, he it's not like he's been a 6 year stud.
Right.
He had a good end of last season and a terrific playoff season. Anybody's always shared the goaltending. So I don't know. I mean, I personally think if that's what they're offering, he should take that. I don't know. I mean, you can't be asking for more money in this scenario because you haven't proven yourself over a long period of time. You've proven yourself to be the goalie of the future and somebody that could be one of the best, if not the best, in the NHL down the road. But I mean, you've only been around 3 years, and you've shared the goaltending. Now, that being said, I mean, he's somebody, I know how hard he works. I know he's another perfectionist. He's somebody that doesn't want to let in anything and wants to keep getting better and better. So, but I just don't know why you need all that money. Initially they were offering him 6.2 per year for 8 years.
Right.
But if they've upped it to 8, I think he's got it. I think you'll see him sign. The other thing, Rich, I wouldn't want the pressure. I wouldn't want to be one of the highest paid goalies in the NHL. I just wouldn't, because everything you do is even more scrutinized. So I don't know. I think that puts pressure on you when you're the highest paid or among the two or three highest paid.
Right.
And like I said, I mean, some of the Shesterkin with the Rangers, some of these goalies who are getting top dollars have been doing it for 6, 7, 8 years, if not longer. I think he's a really quality young man, and he wants to be the best, and maybe it's his agent that's dictating this.
Oh, I'm sure.
Whatever, but I hopefully he'll take it and sign, because he's a missing piece. I think this is going to be a very good Bruins team, and Jim Montgomery has certainly proven to be one of the elite coaches in the NHL, the former Black Bear captain and the UMaine Hall of Famer. So let's hope this gets taken care of.
Larry Mahoney, Bangor Daily News. Larry, great talk with you. As always, thanks for making time for us today, and we'll catch up with you again in a couple of Mondays.
Hey, we just like you just like me like the music, Rich. Let's face it, man. That's why you have me on.
Well, there's no question about it. That's priority one right there. I look forward to what you choose for walk up music next time.
Yeah, and we've gone a week without Tony Burrow, so you know.
Anything's possible. See you, Larry.
See you, Rich.
Larry Mahoney with us here on Downtown. It's 8 to go before the top of the hour.